Hi, welcome to the Speaking of Sex podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we have explicit and soulful conversations about all facets of sexuality. Go on over to pleasuremechanics.com to find the complete podcast archive. While you are there, go to pleasuremechanics.com/free and sign up for the Erotic Essentials so we can bring our best sex advice straight to your inbox and give you actionable items to put into play right away. Last week, we announced the official opening of our Patreon platform, which is a beautiful community platform for you to show your support for this show and the work we do in the world. By offering a monthly pledge of your support, it can be $5. Some people have gotten on board with just $1, and we love having you all. So if $1 a month works for you, come on over to patreon.com/pleasuremechanics, all one word, and get on board. $1 a month, $5 a month, throw in more if you can, and show your support for this show and allow us to grow. We're doing the Patreon so we can bring in more help to help us focus on doing more of the work we love to do, which is bringing you effective, amazing resources to access more pleasure. And we have so many projects we want to deliver to you. And with your monthly support, we can have a reliable monthly income to start bringing on some extra help and grow Pleasure Mechanics, expand our team so we can bring you more of what you love. And on the Patreon, we have some discussions going, and I asked people what episode they want to hear next. I gave them some options for episodes that were coming down the pipeline, and this episode was upvoted, so we're bringing it to you today. We're going to be talking about male sex toys. And this is an arena that doesn't get enough discussion, and so we're going to be sharing with you not only our favorite toys for guys' parts, but also how to have the conversation about sex toys and how to normalize the idea of men using sex toys, because sex toys are for us all, after all. So go to patreon.com/pleasuremechanics, get on board with a monthly pledge, and be part of the conversations. The other exciting thing we're doing there is having a little book club around Esther Perel's new book, The State of Affairs, which just came out yesterday and is all about infidelity and sexual transgressions. And Esther changed the cultural conversation about eroticism with her first book, Mating in Captivity. And now she's shifting our conversations about infidelity. And it's about time to relook at what infidelity means, how to recover from infidelity, and what sexual transgressions mean, why people cheat, and what the draw of an affair is. And so if you are interested in that discussion, then order State of Affairs, jump on Patreon with a monthly pledge, and you can be part of our book club. I'm really excited to discuss it with you. And Esther just confirmed that she is going to be a guest on this podcast in the coming months, which I am so excited about and, you know, fangirling out a bit. I'm actually going to go meet her in November at an event and spend the day with her. And people who are on Patreon and part of the book club can help shape the conversation I will have with her. So that's a really awesome opportunity to be part of that and to discuss as a community your thoughts and your feelings about affairs and infidelity and transgression.
And I'm hoping to discover how to prevent cheating. We haven't read the book yet. We just got it yesterday. But I think that's part of the conversation and part of her writing, because she talks about how happy people cheat also. So there's some really rich information to mine and to put into practice, I imagine, and hope. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes. So patreon.com/pleasuremechanics, be part of our community, show your support for the work we're doing, and help us grow, help us expand.
And we just want to say thank you, of course, to those of you who have already jumped on board and chosen to support our work with your dollars.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Thank you, thank you.
All right, so male sex toys. I feel like there is a certain level of cultural acceptance around vibrators, finally.
For women.
And it's just in the past 10 years that this has happened. Good Vibration started in 1977 in San Francisco, and for a few decades there was this grassroots movement amongst feminist sex stores and trying to normalize the idea of sex toys and vibrators to help facilitate female orgasms. And there was a lot of education around female sex toys. But still to this day, if I bring up the conversation about sex toys for boys, there is a very strange response. There's a lot of shaming and kind of an ickiness around the idea of male sex toys. And I think it's time that we start shifting this conversation and give men permission, radical permission, to use toys and tools to enhance their sexual experience too.
Right, because there's been such a progression for women that it is now considered a tool of empowerment, or that it's kind of an awesome, sexy thing that women are doing to take on their pleasure and learn what pleasures them and pleases them and takes...
And that conversation isn't done yet, right?
Sure.
Vibrators and dildos are still illegal in some states, but for the most part, it's been kind of normalized, especially during masturbation. Mm. Bringing vibrators into partnered sex still has edges for some people. But you can find vibrators in Walmart and drugstores and Amazon.com and all sorts of mainstream stores. It's no longer this, you know, dark side of the road, sleazy sex shop that you have to go to find a vibrator. You can find them just about anywhere.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome.
Certainly a progression.
And actually, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking to an author who wrote the book Vibrator Nation about the history of feminist sex stores and how this cultural change happened. But when I was at the Sex Expo a few weeks ago, I was really taken by how many toys are now available for men. And the industry as a whole, toys for all people, have really grown up. There's a much better conversation about body-safe materials. The technology being used in these vibrators and toys has really grown up. We now can have, like, remote control, app-controlled partnered vibrators that sync with the porn you're watching. Like, it's a whole new world. But the quality of toys has really expanded, has really blossomed.
Improved.
That's the word.
Grown up.
I remember when I bought my first sex toy, I was 15, and I went into one of those side-of-the-highway sex stores that you probably had to be 18 to go into.
Yeah, I'm sure that was not legal.
I did all sorts of things.
Legal, yeah.
I looked much older than my age, so I, you know, was an early bloomer. And it was this horrible jelly material, and it broke after about 3 days, and the packaging said, you know, novelty only, and it was sold kind of as a gag gift. And now we have these $200 beautiful luxe silicone high quality vibrator, amazing options available to us. So in that 20 years, it's just really expanded. The marketplace is amazing. There's toys of every kind of style and aesthetic. But still, with all of that progress, the idea of sex toys for men is still really edgy. And some of the reactions we get are kind of shaming men for wanting more pleasure. There's this idea that men already get theirs. Like, the female orgasm is mysterious and elusive, and of course we need tools because it's so complicated. But men's sexuality is so simple. Why would they need anything more? And that's really underserving men. That's really underestimating their capacity for pleasure and shaming them for having an appetite for variety, for different kinds of sensations, for stimulating new parts of their bodies. We still have this idea that men should be simple and easy, and you just whack them off, and they have an ejaculation, and they're done.
And that should be enough. They should be satisfied.
Yeah, and it's time we give men permission to expand their capacity for pleasure, and using sex toys is part of that. So in this episode, we're going to share with you some of our favorite toys for different parts of the male anatomy. and how to use them. And I also just want to open up the conversation about using sex toys as part of your masturbation life, and then also bringing them into your partnered play. So we will get to talking about cock rings and prostate toys and masturbation sleeves and all sorts of accessories and tools for male pleasure. First, I want to tell you a little story. Way back when, it was probably 5-6 years ago, we decided that when we wanted to film our erotic technique videos that are now part of Foreplay Mastery and Prostate Massage Mastery, our online courses, we really wanted to do it on a replica because we didn't want real bodies distracting you from the instruction. From my previous job, I had learned that when you show people sexual techniques on real bodies, everyone has their feelings about, am I attracted to that person? And, oh, that person has a pimple on his butt. And you get distracted by the realness of the body instead of focusing on the technique. And so we had the idea of showing these techniques on a replica so you could just focus on the technique, learn, not be distracted by any personal feelings about the people demonstrating. So all of our techniques are filmed up close on these lifelike silicone replicas. And so we started looking at where we could find these replicas, and what we found were these tools made for male masturbation. And so there are these like 20-pound hunks of silicone, and they're molded off of porn stars' bodies usually. And they're incredibly lifelike silicone genitals, and they come in all sorts of configurations. And so in our storage unit, we have a whole box full of silicone genitals. We have the butt that we use to demonstrate prostate massage. We have a vulva that we use to demonstrate fingering techniques. And we have a cock and balls that we use to demonstrate the hand jobs. And when we got these in the mail, we were kind of curious how we would feel interacting with them. And we took them out of the box, and both of us were astounded.
I couldn't believe the pleasure of the sensation of touching them. Mm. I was really surprised, because the silicone it's really pleasing.
Yeah.
So we were doing all of the filming. So I was, then my hands, so I was doing all of this vulva touch and then like the G-spot exploration. So I was up in there and I was like, God, this is really pleasurable. Yeah. I can imagine using a penis being just really blissful. And that I just wasn't really expecting that at all. The sensation of silicone is really quite beautiful.
Yeah, I think we had our own prejudgments about, like, what kind of guy would want to have sex with a fake pussy? Like, what does that mean about the guy? And we kind of came into it with a lot of prejudgment, I think, and some shaming around the idea of fucking a fake genital.
That's, like, disconnected from a body and is just, like, this little chunk of the genitals. Like, it did feel like, huh.
Yeah. There was something strange about it, but as soon as we got our fingers in there, we were like, oh, this is why it feels good. It's tight and it's wet with the lube and it feels yummy around our fingers. So of course it would feel great around your penis in a way that your hand could never replicate.
Mm.
And there was a light bulb moment for me there, because I think I was in that camp of, well, men have their hands and they can just jerk off. And
there's so much sensation you can make with your hands, and that's all true.
Yeah.
And different sensations are exciting and stimulating and novel in other moments, of course.
Yeah. And I liked the feeling of putting my fingers in this toy. Like, I might masturbate just by doing that. And so that kind of opened up this conversation for us. And in the years since then, we've explored all sorts of male sex toys. And recently, I reached out to some of these companies and asked them to send me samples. And I passed them on to some of our dear listeners to try out and road test for us and get their feedback. And universally, these guys said that using these toys for masturbation changed their solo sex life. It opened up new kinds of sensation, it made it less boring, it gave them novelty, and they really liked having these tools to expand their masturbation practice with. So male sex toys fall into a few different categories. Really, any sex toy can be used on any body with a little creativity, but toys specifically designed for the cock and balls and butt are the main categories for men. So we have prostate toys, toys that go in the butt, stimulate the prostate. We have toys for the penis and the balls, and these include sleeves and cock rings. And then there's toys like nipple clamps that are available for anyone that has nipples, and all sorts of kinky toys that can be used. And we did an episode on kinky masturbation recently. And so if you're interested in that category, check out that episode. Today we're going to be focusing on the cock, balls, and prostate toys. Because a lot of guys don't give themselves permission to use accessories to stimulate these parts of their body. And a lot of guys masturbate in the same way they've been masturbating their whole life and feel kind of bored with it. Of course they do. If you like use the same stroke and the same amount of pressure and have the same fantasy, the only way to create novelty is through porn and the novelty of all the different bodies available on porn sites. And so I think that's the way a lot of guys seek novelty, is through visual stimulation. But you can also create novelty through the sensations that you're putting into your genitals. Right? So the main category of male masturbators are penis sleeves and things to masturbate into. And so Fleshlight was one of the pioneers in this space. And now there's a company called Tenga who make eggs and other kinds of really high-tech sleeves. And these sleeves have all sorts of textures. The Tenga eggs, you can get a six-pack with six different textures. And so one has wavy grooves inside, and one has little nubby dots, and one has more like ridges. One has a spirally sensation. And when I was at the Sex Expo, I got to open up six eggs and stick my hands in all these toys. And that's always my practice, is to translate what I'm feeling in my fingers to what it might feel like on the penis. My kind of psychic penis gets activated. And it was really interesting to notice that each of these textures does create a different range of sensation and stimulate different parts of the anatomy. And when I was talking with the Tenga folks, they said that everyone kind of finds their favorite. And then the amount of lube you put in can change the sensations. And what's so nice about these toys is they're soft and they're flexible. And so you can change the amount of pressure you put on the penis through this toy. So you can do a nice loose grip and let the toy slide over your cock, or you can do a nice firm grip and let the texture really sink into your penis, and you can stimulate different nerve endings this way. And so the Tenga eggs are a really great tool. And then Tenga also makes these reusable. So the Tenga eggs are disposable.
And the eggs are the way that they're packaged, but the silicone sleeves are the masturbating tools.
Yeah, they come in these really cute little plastic eggs. You can save them and use them for Easter egg hunts. And those are meant for one-time use, which is nice if you're on the go or don't really want to deal with cleanup. But Tenga also makes reusable sleeves that are incredibly designed. They're really exquisitely packaged, and they have all sorts of layers of textures. So you lubricate them, you slide your penis into them, and at different layers of the toy, you get different kinds of sensation, and you can really play with that and ripple around your different parts. And the frenulum of the penis is usually most sensitive, so you can roll the ridges of the toy around that. And it's really an experiment to find how your penis feels best in these toys. And they're all really beautifully designed, and so you can, you know, open them up and rinse them out and clean them, and they come with their own drying stand. And you have to be comfortable having this in your bathroom or on your bedside table. And this is the other thing that toys do. They're a placeholder for your sexual expression. They're a placeholder for your sexual empowerment. They're saying to yourself, yes, my masturbation and my pleasure is worthy of investing in and exploring and experimenting, and I'm not just going to jerk off shamefully in secret in the shower as quickly as I can and rub one out. right? That's
in the same way that you've been doing since you were a teenager.
Yeah, that's the way a lot of people treat masturbation, like this ugly habit you just have to kind of get over with as quickly as possible. When you invest in a sex toy and you have to take care of it and clean it and enjoy it over time, there's something really empowering about that, I think, because you're giving yourself permission to pleasure.
Yeah, it becomes a symbol of your pleasure, of your desire, of your interest and value in sexuality, and that you want to choose to experience more pleasure. So it becomes symbolic as well as practical. And I think there's something really powerful to remind yourself again and again of your commitment to your erotic life and your ever-expanding pleasure. That is no small thing.
And if there are kids around, you can have a locking bedside table. You can find ways to keep these private. But I think there is something really powerful about having these tools only for your own pleasure. And some of these tools can be used in partnered sex, and we'll get to that. But for the most part, these sleeves are made for masturbation. The toys from Fleshlight come in all sorts of aesthetics. So you can get a Fleshlight that has a vulva-shaped opening, you can get a Fleshlight that has an anus-shaped opening, or you can get a Fleshlight that has a vampire mouth-shaped opening, or like a sci-fi alien-shaped opening. You can find the one that matches your fantasies, and or it's just a fun aesthetic. Maybe it's just a funny thing to get the alien one. You're not necessarily fantasizing about aliens, but you like the color of it. There's so much choice there. The men we sent these toys to, one of their feedback about the Fleshlights is that they're designed to have different sensations at different lengths in the toy. And the payload, they kind of call them oral sex simulators. Mm. But those sensations are really high up in the toy. So if you don't have a super long penis, you never reach the most exciting ride in the toy. And some of our guys felt shame about that. They felt like, my penis doesn't fit this toy, therefore I'm not right. What I like about the Tenga products is they're so flexible that really no matter how big your penis is, you can access all of the features. And I kind of enjoyed that about the Tenga products. One of the Fleshlight products that did get really good reviews is called the Vantage, which is an open-ended toy. So unlike some of these other sleeves that are kind of closed capsules, the Vantage is an open-ended one. So it slides and it stimulates the penis in all these different ways, but your penis comes out the other end. And a lot of our guys really liked the visual of seeing their penis emerge and disappear into the toy. And they liked the ability to see their ejaculation, to see their own cum shot. Men, a lot of men, not all men, a lot of men like seeing their cum. Mm. And this is why there's compilations of 1,001 cum shots, right, to masturbate to. Men like seeing the visual of their climax. And so the Vantage from Fleshlight allows you to do that. The other advantage to that toy is you can use it more in partnered play. So you can use this toy to stimulate the base of the penis while you're giving oral sex to the head of the penis. And so for partners who feel pressure to deep throat all the time or have a really active gag reflex but want to be doing oral sex, using this toy around the base of the penis allows them to focus on the head of the penis while still stimulating the whole cock. So that's a fun way to use these toys. You can also do this with some of the Tenga eggs of clipping the top and making it an open-ended toy. You can modify it in that way. So you get to be creative with these tools. One of the Tenga toys is called the Flip, and this product creates this incredible suction. And one of our testers really loved the sucking noises it made. Mm. So it creates suction, and that creates a lot of stimulation and pressure on the penis. But it has this strange side effect of creating a sucking sound. And one of our testers reported being really turned on by that sound of the suction going on and off his cock. And I was really fascinated by that. And it reminded me that sex is a multi-sensory event, right? So we're focusing on the sensation, the physical stimulation of the nerve endings on the penis. But all of the other parts of using toys and tools counts. The visual of it. Are you seeing the head of your cock or not? What color is it? What is it reminding you of? And then the smell and then the sound. It's all of these things put together that creates the experience of using a toy. And so I was really enjoyed that feedback, that the suctiony sound reminded him of like someone slurping on his cock, and he really enjoyed that.
Slurping.
Slurping. Cock slurping. Okay, so those are the sleeves and suctiony toys to be used sliding over your cock during masturbation or partnered play. You can also stimulate the penis with vibrators, any kind of vibrator that your partner might have, or if you want to experiment getting a little bullet vibrator. Some guys really love the sensation of vibration on their penis. Other guys don't like it as much. Going down the shaft, we're just going to work our way backwards in the anatomy here. Another category of male sex toys is cock rings. And cock rings, I first heard about it in Pump Up the Volume, that Christian Slater movie from the 80s. And there's a quote, it's like, well, what's a cock ring? And it's like, well, it's a ring with a cock on it. It's not a ring with a cock on it. It's a ring that goes around your cock, and it goes around the base of your penis and helps your erection. And so how it works is the blood flowing in your penis stays in, and it constricts the blood flowing out of your penis with a little bit of pressure around the veins and arteries. And so for most guys, if they get hard and put on a cock ring, it helps their penis get harder and stay harder longer. Cock rings come in all sorts of styles and materials. You can get really simple leather straps with a little snap. You can get silicone rings that are stretchy. You can get metal rings. And as you explore this genre of toys, start simple with an easy to remove one with a snap or Velcro. And then as you get to know how your penis responds to a cock ring, you can invest in a beautiful shiny gold cock ring. The other thing, I really love cock rings. When I was in the kinky poly community in San Francisco, I always loved seeing a cock with a cock ring on it. I found it really sexy because it's adorning the penis. And this is another area that male sex toys can be really empowering, because there are so many jokes about how ugly the penis is, and we denigrate the penis all the time. But choosing to put jewelry on your penis and adorn it and celebrate its hardness, I think is really celebratory and beautiful. And you kind of frame the cock and balls in this beautiful ring. So not only does it get harder, but it kind of presents the cock. Mm. It just like pushes it out there a little bit, and it's like, here's my erection. And I think that's really sexy and beautiful. A lot of guys love the sensation of that snug, tight pressure around the base of their cock and balls. And it also alleviates some of the feelings of worry that you're going to lose your erection. And we know here at Pleasure Mechanics that an erection does not performance make, and it's not important to always have your erection. But if you want to extend your erection, this is a tool that's available to you. Lalo makes an interesting cock ring that's made out of silicone and has a little vibrator at the base of it. And so some guys like that feeling of vibrating right at their perineum. Other people fantasize and enjoy grinding that vibrator into their partner as they're penetrating, right? It can be a little bonus as you penetrate your partner to have that little buzz.
A bonus to your boner.
A boner bonus,
if you will.
I think we need to trademark that. That's kind of genius. So cock rings are definitely something to explore. A lot of these toys come out of the gay male sex culture. 20, 30 years ago, gay men were innovating and celebrating their sexuality in a way that straight men are now just catching up to. And so cock rings have been around in the like leather, kinky, gay male community forever. But a lot of straight guys have never tried them. Mm. And it's this new accessory for your penis. Why not try them? Okay, so we've done the cock, sheaths, masturbating. We've done the base of the cock rings. Going back a little bit, the perineum is this area that's ripe for exploration. And I just say, any vibrator you have around, put on your perineum and see how it feels. Mm-hmm. Stimulating the perineum is really important. That's why we include it in our foreplay mastery course and our prostate massage course. It's a way of accessing the deep root of the penis and the perineum from the outside. So if you haven't explored your perineum, get up in there.
You must. Required play homework.
Is using some deep pressure and vibration in the perineum and see how that feels in your cock. Traveling back further is the butt. And we've talked about this a lot. We are huge fans of prostate massage and anal play for guys. It's part of your sexual system. And so many people avoid it out of the ick factor or around homophobia or worrying what that feels like.
Or what it means.
What it means about your sexuality. Yeah. So we've talked about that a lot before. But if you are ready and excited to start playing with your butt, there's all sorts of toys to help you in those solo explorations or with your partner. A lot of guys start exploring butt play before asking their partner to participate in it. So it's part of their masturbation long before they get brave enough to ask their partner to touch their ass. And there's a few different categories for this. There's butt plugs, which are non-vibrating or vibrating toys that are meant to just insert and then keep in your butt while you do other things. And that feeling of pressure and fullness in your butt can feel really good. And then there's toys designed specifically for prostate stimulation. And so they have a nice curve to them and a length that's long enough to hit the prostate. Some of our favorites in this area are the Aneros, which is kind of the old school. They've been around for 10, 12 years. We've been talking about them for a decade. And they are a line of toys specifically designed to stimulate your prostate. They have vibrating and non-vibrating models and a whole range of sizes. So you can start with a nice slender toy and see how that feels. And then there's all sorts of prostate vibrators and stimulators that are designed to reach that spot. Lalo has a really nice toy called the Loki. That's a nice soft silicone and it's designed to hit the prostate. For me, I think butt play and prostate massage is better explored with hands than a toy.
To start with, especially?
To start with, ideally, right? That's ideal. I think the fingers can stimulate the butt and the prostate in some really beautiful, nuanced ways that a toy can never replicate. But if you don't have a willing partner or you want to do it solo, most guys can't reach around and put their fingers in their own butt. We're just simply not flexible enough to do that. So these toys unlock the possibility of stimulating this area that might be hard for you to reach on your own.
And so many men use them in the shower if they want to be exploring them privately, in their own solo sexuality. Like, there's so many ways to use them solo to explore. But remember, the butt can also take a while to feel as good as it possibly can. A lot of us have chronic tension and some numbness in the area, so it's worth exploring for a while if at first it feels like nothing's happening. And we've done lots of podcasts on this, so check those out. But that's just one piece of mini advice. What I love about adding any of these into your solo erotic play is both the symbolic piece that we talked about earlier, but also just it is a way of bringing new sensations into your experience of solo sex, which is of course going to bring new awareness, and it'll bring you into paying attention to the sensations in your body in a new way because it's new. And that is exciting. It is important to keep exploring our own solo sexuality. It is a place that we get to have autonomy over our own body. We get to explore new things that we didn't, that we aren't sure if we enjoy or not yet. It's a laboratory for discovering our desires and our turn-ons and our interests. So there's so many elements to why this is valuable and important and pleasurable.
I often fantasize about a place you can go and try out all sorts of sex toys on your body because they are an investment and it takes some time to find the right toys.
You mean like a sex toy library? Like they have tool libraries now?
A lot of these are highly cleanable. So this possibility does exist, but of course we have all sorts of ick and hygiene things around sharing sex toys. Yeah. So the downside to sex toys is that it does take some experimentation, and that can be expensive experimentation. I've gotten some emails from people who are like, I spent $60 on this toy and it just doesn't fit me right. Mm. And now I have it. What do I do with it? Can I return it? And so I don't know how to resolve this, but I've had the opportunity to try out probably hundreds of sex toys, and there's three or four that are my favorite. And you have to figure that out. What kind of vibration you like, what kind of weight of material. You and I both like really heavy toys. We like the heavy Enjoy metal toys. Other people like the really light silicone soft toys. So there's a certain level of experimentation. If you live near a high quality sex store, a boutique, or if you're traveling in a big city, it's really worth going to a store where you can touch and hold all of these toys and feel the different kind of vibrations, feel the different materials, see the size in person. Because sometimes when you're shopping online, you're like, 9 inches, that sounds good. And then it comes, it's like, wow, that's a huge toy to put in my butt. So if you have the opportunity to do some hands-on shopping, it's super worth it. And most of these stores have toys out on display. But otherwise, I think it's just a level of choosing to invest and knowing that it might take a while to find your favorite toy. But how you approach shopping for sex toys. First of all, it's really important to shop at a high quality sex toy store. And we're going to link up all of these toys from some of our favorite stores that have been around for decades, who have good ethics. There's a lot of sex toys available on Amazon from like random sellers that are knockoffs of the real thing. They're made of lesser quality materials. They're not designed to last. And so, yeah, they might be $10 cheaper, but they're not really high quality.
And there are some materials you really want to make sure not to put inside your body.
Yeah, any of that jelly, rubber, if it smells weird, it's probably not good for your body. It's off-gassing chemicals. And thankfully, the industry has gotten much better about this, so there's less and less of those dangerous toys. 5 years ago, there were a lot of dangerous toys on the market. Those materials are slowly going away, which is good. So you want to shop at a good quality sex toy store that provides you good education, and we'll link to some of those stores. Babeland.com, goodvibes.com are good places to start. And then you really want to do the work of thinking, okay, for this next round of exploration, what is the sensation or experience I'm craving? Want a stroker to unlock different sensations on my cock? Am I really curious about a cock ring? Have I always wanted to play with my butt? What kind of feelings, what kind of sensations are you looking for? And then you can start choosing toys and narrowing it down. Because it can be overwhelming to go on one of these stores and there's 500 toys available to you. And where do you begin?
It's so true, because you can have a whole lifetime to explore your solo sex. So it really is that question of what sensation would be interesting to explore next.
Right.
There's always more ahead, but just start with your immediate desire.
Yeah, and then look for the entry level in terms of both size and price. If you're playing with your butt for the first time, get a small butt plug.
Yeah.
That's going to be much more comfortable to start with, and you can feel those sensations. And then if you discover, gosh, I'm really craving more size, more girth, then you can start building your collection and going up in size. And that's much better than starting with a toy that's way too big and hurting yourself and writing off the whole experience altogether. So start small, work up. And with things like cock rings and the sleeves, there's versions that cost $10 or $20, and there's versions that cost $200. And so if you're not sure that you're going to like the feeling of a cock ring, get a simple one. You might love it. And then for your anniversary or for Christmas, you can get a nicer one. And you build your collection that way. in the leather community, when I first started playing with BDSM and leather, and my mentor said to me, you have to earn your leathers. A lot of newbies, a lot of amateurs rush into BDSM and buy a ton of toys and build out their whole library of toys before they've really earned them, meaning developed the skill and confidence to play with these toys. And I remember I bought this really intense paddle at one of my first BDSM conferences because it was this beautiful wood and it was just this gorgeous wood grain and I was really into it. And my mentor, who was topping me, took it away from me. And she was like, no, you haven't earned that yet. You don't get that yet. Mm. We're going to work our way up to that. And I really absorbed that lesson of starting where you are. And your fantasy might be light years ahead of where your actual lived experience is. And you can slowly work towards that fantasy with nice baby steps, right? And if you're interested in the masturbation sleeves, the Tenga eggs are really great because I think they're $10.
Or $7.50. Like they're, yeah.
Yeah, you can buy one individual egg or you can buy a six pack with all of the different textures. And that's a really great way to experiment with how does it feel to have textured silicone wrapped around my cock? I've never even considered that before. What would that feel like? How does it feel different? What does it feel like to masturbate when I'm not actually touching my penis? Because that's the other thing that these toys introduce is giving yourself sensation without your hand touching your genitals. And there is something in the brain that shifts. It's kind of like tickling yourself. Mm. When you use a toy, there's just enough neurofeedback difference. That's totally not scientific language, but there's enough difference in your brain that it feels different to touch your genitals with a toy than it does with your hands. Explore that difference for yourself. What does it feel like to stroke your cock through a sleeve? And if you really love it, you can invest in one of the really high-tech Tenga toys that create suction and have all sorts of different amazing textures and work your way up to that. I want to talk really briefly about partners' attitudes.
Mm.
Because with women's toys, this comes up. Sometimes if women masturbate with a vibrator, that's fine. But if they want to use it during intercourse, oh, that's all of a sudden threatening. These tools are meant to bring us more pleasure, and that pleasure can coexist with your partner's ability to pleasure you. And Dan Savage always says, we never discount the fact that a carpenter builds a house because he uses power tools, right? We don't look at a house and be like, well, you didn't really build that. The tools built that. But we can think of an orgasm and be like, well, it doesn't really count because I didn't give it to you with my body. The vibrator did it, so therefore it doesn't count. I think this whole way of thinking really needs to be composted and recycled, and we need to instead think of these as pleasure tools that you can pull out at different points in your sex life for different purposes and to unlock different experiences and give one another, regardless of gender, radical permission to explore our bodies and explore pleasure. And from that place of both having sexual autonomy, both having ownership over your own sexual experience, that's a much more powerful place to come into partnered sexuality. And so women listening to this or partners of men, you might be a little hesitant to give your guy permission to masturbate with these products, or it might be confronting to you if he has a fleshlight in his bedside table, or you see the Tenga egg in the trash and you think, wait, when did he use that? And we haven't had sex in a couple weeks. And so why is he masturbating? And hey, like you feel threatened or jealous of these
rejected
toys. And that just means you need to have more conversation.
Or more sex.
More conversation to have more sex. Right? Like you need to have a dialogue in your relationship that honors the place of masturbation, gives one another permission to explore both independently, and then bring that to your partnered play. And I find it's really useful to integrate toys into partnered play. If nothing else, like they can add all sorts of sensations and help you with your blowjobs and stimulate his butt while he's fucking you. And, you know, there's all sorts of add-ons that it brings. But it also is just a way of demystifying the toys. Like when you see him stroking with the egg and you see his cock pushing on the silicone and how cool that looks, then maybe it's a turn on for you too, and it doesn't become something that's separate from you. It's part of your integrated sex life.
It's something you're experiencing together and bringing newness to your experience of sexuality together.
Yeah, and equally, if you're having intercourse and she wants to slip a vibrator down and stimulate her clitoris so that intercourse feels more orgasmic for her, that doesn't mean you're not a good lover. It means she needs extra stimulation on her clitoris to enjoy what you're doing more. And if she enjoys what you're doing more, she'll want to do more of it. So it's a win-win.
It's a team sport. We really like to think of sex as a team sport. Yeah. Or partnered sex.
But you need to get over these feelings of feeling threatened or jealous of tools.
Mm-hmm.
We use tools in all other parts of our lives. In the kitchen, there's all sorts of gadgets.
To make a more beautiful meal. It really is just about pleasure enhancement that you share together and shifting your mindset to be inclusive and is important because it'll just add to more pleasure for all of you.
Okay. So we are going to link up all of these toys over at pleasuremechanics.com. Go to the podcast page and find this episode on male sex toys, and we will have links galore to help facilitate you finding these toys that have been road tested by some of our community members. And thank you, dear members who volunteered their cocks and butts and nipples for us. We deeply appreciate you.
Your service for the greater good.
And then let us know what works for you and what your favorite toys are. And please, please consider joining us at patreon.com/pleasuremechanics. That's patreon.com/pleasuremechanics, and join our Patreon community. We're going to have a book club about Esther Perel's new book. We're going to be upvoting podcast episodes so you can suggest topics for future episodes, but also vote on what you want to see next and be part of shaping the Pleasure Mechanics galaxy. I have just started last night. I really sunk my teeth into the next project we are going to be delivering to you, and I'm so excited about that. And your support at Patreon will help us expand our stable monthly income. Your $1 a month or $5 a month will add up as a community. Our goal is to get 1% of the people who listen to this podcast. And that's when NPR does a fundraising drive. That's their goal, is 1% of their listening audience to become a sustaining member. And they run week-long fundraising drives to get that 1%. We want 1% of you to step up, say you support us, give us $1 or $5 a month so we can have a reliable monthly income to start hiring more people to do some of the work, take it off my plate, so I can really shape some more educational resources for you. That I'm just pent up with. I am bursting at the seams with resources to deliver to you. I just need more time to do it. And your support at Patreon will allow that to happen. And I think it's just a fun party to join for $5 a month, because we're going to have all sorts of conversations and patron-only bonuses. And that's where I'm going to be investing my time, in talking to our community and answering your questions and sharing inside little tidbits as we continue with our creative process, bringing these erotic resources to the world.
And then you get to become a patron of the erotic arts. And that is just kind of sexy.
It works, right? I'm a patron of the erotic arts, babies. I love it. So patreon.com/pleasuremechanics. Join us. You can always find us at pleasuremechanics.com, where you'll find the complete podcast archive and our online multimedia courses. So if your guy is really enjoying his prostate toys, you can learn the art and skill of prostate massage and give him some of the most powerful orgasms of his life. Or you can learn how to give amazing hand jobs. Or you can learn how to do erotic spanking. Our online courses are really about guiding you step by step through mastering these erotic techniques so you feel more confident in bed and as a lover. Sexual confidence is really what it's all about. And when you know the skills and you've mastered them, you can come to your sex life with a swagger that your lover will not soon forget. All right. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.